Spirit had been poured out upon the 120, that 120 faithful worshipers, right? After the Holy Spirit had been poured out, Peter rose up and he began to preach. We all know that. And he said, this was that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he immediately begins to quote from the book of the prophet Joel. Now, instead of reading that to you out of the book of Acts, I want to go and read the passage to you out of the book of the prophet Joel, okay? And I want to start there Joel chapter 2 and verse number 28. Spirit of the Lord really directed me this direction this week, and I've gotten a lot of confirmation just through the way the Lord's moving in worship and in our prayer meetings and various things that this is what the Lord wants to say today. So starting with verse 28, it said, now notice, I want you to notice these first six words. It will come about after this. Do y'all see that? It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even upon male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will display wonders in the sky and on earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered, or we're more used to seeing the translation of that, saved. Amen. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to remember something we've talked about a lot over the last few weeks. The restoration, there's a period of restoration that will take place before Jesus returns. We've talked about that. It also is in the book of Acts. But remember, the restoration is of these ancient prophecies. These ancient prophecies from ancient times will be restored in the New Testament church before Jesus comes. Now, we know that Peter and his apostles obviously had become familiar with some of these prophecies. So how else would Peter even have been known to quote it? You got to remember something about Jesus' apostles. They weren't from the rabbinical seminary. These guys had not been trained up in that way. And yet, of course, they had spent 3.5 years with Jesus. And I don't know if Peter took a scroll that day and opened up the book of Joel. We don't know that he did, or if it was strictly by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, or he had been meditating on that. I'm not really sure. Maybe Jesus told him to look at that. This is what's getting ready to happen. I don't know. But Peter makes it clear this is what it's referring to from one of these ancient prophecies. Here's the one thing I want you to always remember, because some people have asked me, and not that people are confronting me, but just to make it clear to you, some things that were prophesied, they serve the purpose in the time in which they were prophesied, but they have a double meaning. They have a double blessing. They also were fulfilled within the church in another age. Are y'all with me? Like that spirit of Elijah. It was on Elijah, and it was on Elijah, and then it was on John the Baptist. See? So we see how these things can carry away. Because see, the one thing about the realm of the spirit and the eternal things is they're always eternal. Nothing changes about God's intent. Here's the key. The key to understanding Old Testament prophecies, as we would call them, is they are restored in the last days in the church. Because here's the reason. Everything is summed up in Jesus. Everything is summed up in Jesus. It's all going to be restored in him and in his church in these last days. And the key that helps us is this. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us into truth. So I don't think until the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles could they even stand and preach such a message. Because it was with the power and the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit that we can understand and see. For example, let me give you another example. We all love to say this, but it's an Old Testament prophecy. And that is this, that the glory of the latter house will what? Be greater than the former house. And so we know that is also speaking forward to the church. The glory that God shows in the end is going to be greater than any glory he's ever shown. Amen. So we see this over and over through the scriptures. But again, Peter stood up and declared basically the last days have begun. Amen. The outpoured Holy Spirit has come and the church age is now here. Okay. So with that, I want to talk to you about the fact that the remnant of those who believed the Lord and actually waited for him to outpour the Holy Spirit was about 120, right? Now, interestingly, the Bible says 500 plus people saw Jesus resurrected. Not the resurrection, but saw him walking around as a resurrected man. Okay. All right, now think about that. Over 500 plus people saw Jesus because he didn't like he just went to heaven. Nobody ever saw him again. He was moving in and out. He was conversing with the disciples. People saw him. Obviously, hundreds of people saw him, but only 120 were willing to pay the price to gather and wait expectantly for the Lord to do something. And that's very important because the Lord has always worked through a remnant. He's always worked through a remnant, and any of us who will hear the wake-up call of God, we can choose to be a part of his end-time remnant. Amen? Anybody can make that choice. But what were the 120 doing in their waiting? That's the part I wanted to bring your attention today. Well, at the end of Luke, now we know that Luke wrote also the book of Acts. Everybody know that, right? Because you can just transition beautifully from Luke right into the book of Acts. And Luke says in the end of his gospel of Luke, he says that they were in the temple together praising God. But then in the book of Acts, he also adds that they were with one mind in agreement, in one accord, some translations say, and devoting themselves to prayer. Now, I want you to think about it. So these guys were like the royal priesthood. They had gathered together, and their commitment, or we could say this, the David's tabernacle being restored. And as they came together, they were ministering unto the Lord in praise and worship and in prayer. And they were devoted to that. And the Holy Spirit came upon these guys. Amen? He came upon them mightily, and the most beautiful part is the result of that outpouring is 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I don't know about you, but I want an outpouring, and we were singing into that today and what God wants to do, and I'm believing for it, but I'm also believing for the harvest that comes with it. Amen. And so, I mean, we need a harvest in this generation. Hallelujah. We've not really seen one. We've seen a lot of church growth through people moving around, going to different churches. This church kind of hot right now, but we've not seen it a lot, not in America that I know of, but I'm telling you, things are getting ready to break. Even in places we would call ground zero with a lot of the riots and things going on, I just saw a video of over in Huntington Beach, the brother out there with, what was his name? Yeah, Sean, he's out there, and they're baptizing people in the ocean in the Pacific. And so I'm like going, okay, Lord, we're ready. Anybody ready? Hallelujah. They were willing, though, to praise and worship and pray and wait before the Holy Spirit outpouring had even come. Think about that. They had not even received the Holy Spirit, and they're waiting for something they've never received. Can I tell you this? The best way to always wait is to always wait in worship and prayer. If you try to wait, how many of you found this out? If you try to wait any other way, it's real complicated. It's really hard to wait any other way because then you find yourself fidgeting, right? We're tapping our phone, looking at our watch, you know, and let's do something else instead of realizing what it means to wait before the Lord. The church needs an outpouring. What do we agree? The church needs a refreshing like never before. How many of you agree with me? This generation needs an outpouring. This generation needs the nation itself needs a spiritual awakening. We know that, and we're believing for that. Interestingly, many of our governmental leaders today, as we know, and I'm not here to make a political statement, but they don't see the church as essential. Right? Liquor stores are essential, but the church isn't. But, you know, part of that problem is when you don't see the value in something. Can I be honest with you? That's the problem. We have a lot of secular leaders. They don't see the value. And really, no, it's not on them to see the value. It's on our end to show the value. Right. Amen? Of what we do. The glory and power of God. And I really believe that. Now, in some states, they've even moved to the lengths of forbidding that when you do gather, in very limited, with very much distancing and all of that, they even forbid speaking and singing. In the services, I'm kind of like, well, might as well stay home for sure now if I can't even speak and sing. But can I tell you right now, the very evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is you open your mouth and something comes out. I don't care if you're speaking with tongues, praising God, or most definitely prophecy. That's the most evident thing that happened. All shall prophesy. Amen? So, I mean, let's be honest with you. Think about it. And that's what I began to realize. This is more than just safety. It's a plan, a diabolical plan to keep the saints from assembling together and lifting up their voice. I'm telling you, because what we need more than ever is for the saints to get together and lift up their voice. Hallelujah. Praise has been ordained by God to silence the enemy. We know that. And prophecy is what institutes change. So if you don't speak to the dry bones, nothing happens. We'll look at that passage in a moment. I just want to tell you guys today, I'm not going to be silent. In my prayer, in my intercession, in my worship, and in my praise. I'm not going to be silent and prophesying any more than I would be silent if they came here and said, you can't preach anymore. I'm not going to be silent. Somewhere along the line, you've got to draw that line, and I've got to obey God. Are y'all with me? I've got to obey God and the Holy Spirit who inspires me to speak. Amen? Now, before Joel said, I will pour forth of my spirit, he said, it will come about after this. Now, think of what I'm saying. It'll come about after this. I will pour forth of my spirit. So another thing you'll see in scripture is therefore. So there's something before that led to the outpouring. And you're going to find it was the same thing that has led to every outpouring you see in scripture. We're not going to go look at all the verses in Joel. Stay in Joel because there's another verse I want to show you in a moment. But I just want to give you just a little bit of a capsule version of what was being said prior to this verse. Let me just share it with you. Return to me with all your heart. Rend your heart and not your garment. For the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger and he's abounding in loving kindness. And then he says, blow a trumpet in Zion. You know what? The trumpet was an alarm. It was a sound and alarm. It was a call to worship. Amen? To consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and even the nursing infants. Everybody. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priest, the royal priesthood, the Lord's ministers weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your inheritance a reproach. Here it is, a byword among the nations. Amen? Nobody wants to see that. Why should they among the people say, where is their God? I mean, that shouldn't be what anybody says. They shouldn't say, where is their God? Hallelujah. Then, everybody say then, the Lord will be zealous for his land and have mercy on his people. So rejoice and be glad, for I'm going to bring an abundance of grain and your vats are going to overflow with new wine and oil. Hallelujah. And he will send, I love this part, the early rains and the latter rains. I'm just giving you a little Cliff Notes version of those verses. He will send the early rains and the latter rains. And I love this part. I'll make up for you for the years the locusts have eaten. The years of corruption, the years of loss. I mean, some of you I know didn't get saved till later in life. Amen. There's just times we look back and we see times of loss. But I'm telling you, he's going to restore the years. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now get that. It will come about after these things. After this time of prayer and fasting and repentance. Ministering before the Lord. Amen. And unto the Lord that I will pour forth of my spirit. And I want you all to see that because I want to encourage you. Because I believe the Lord is proclaiming to his church in this hour, sound the alarm. Amen. Sound the alarm, consecrate a fast, gather the people together, the holy priesthood, and let's get after this thing. Amen? I also believe he is zealous for us too. We know, how many of you know, we know he's zealous with jealousy for his Holy Spirit, who he's made to dwell within us. He's zealous for his church because he purchased his church. Again, can I tell you? He's zealous for this land. He's zealous for this nation. Now, whether, you know, it isn't in today's history books, but this nation was initially devoted to the Lord. And it was to propagate the gospel to the ends of the earth and to all peoples. I want to tell you today, this nation is his. Come on. It's his. In fact, the earth is the Lord's. And all that it contains. And you know what the scripture says? He said, the nations are mine. Ask me of the for the nations. So we got to understand that. And you and I are joint heirs with him. That's why he tells us and he challenges us to ask and to extend our faith and belief for everything. I'm telling you, this earth was not given to Satan as some kind of a consolation prize for getting kicked out of heaven. Are y'all with me? It was not a consolation prize to the enemy. The earth is the Lord's. And the nations are the Lord's. Hallelujah. And we need to understand that. We have to have that kind of an attitude. We must not fear, but instead rejoice and be glad. But can I tell you, in our rejoicing and be glad, we do need to remain very sober in spirit about our current reality we're all living in. Amen? We need to have a soberness of spirit, and we need to be prepared for what may come. I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I don't like to promote those things, but I want to tell you today, there's no guarantees we won't go through things. Jesus talked about tribulation. He talked about days of trouble. He talked about persecution, and we've got to be understanding of how do we navigate through that when it comes. Amen? Again, we must not cease to celebrate, to rejoice, and to be glad, but we must prophesy hope. We must prophesy an outpouring. I want to prophesy a greater glory and a harvest. Hallelujah. Anybody with me? What I love about the early rains and the latter rains is the latter rains were the spring rains. And the spring rains are what cause harvest to spring up. That's why we call it spring. It's a time of a springing forth. And here's the thing we learn from that prophetically is the latter outpourings of God are going to be greater than the initial outpouring. We know how powerful Pentecost was. There's some outpourings that'll make that pale in comparison. That's really amazing when you think about it. And again, that verse, I will make up for you the years of corruption, the years of loss, the years, come on, of disappointment, the years where the enemy ate away, The Lord said, I will make that up to you. I'm going to redeem it. Hallelujah. And all shame will be removed because God is so good. Hallelujah. Now, if you're still in Joel 2, we looked at verse 28. I want to go back and read verse 27. Verse 27 leading into 28. He says, thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and there is no other. And my people will what? What does it say? Never be put to shame. Everybody say never. And it will come about after this that I will pour forth of my spirit. So we see how this beautifully flows. Look at it this way. Priestly ministry, right? Repentance, prayer, intercession, worship, priestly ministry, and what results? Restoration. Okay, everybody say restoration. Then there's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what's the result of an outpouring? A great harvest. Hallelujah. A great harvest. This is the pattern we see in the Old Testament. And it also is the pattern we see in the New Testament church. The restored ministry of the tabernacle of David is what? So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that some of the dreams and the words as of late that we've seen, some that are quite dark and dire, is anything that is spoken. Let me just say this. I believe in the prophetic, but I also believe we're instructed to examine everything carefully. It's not judging someone to examine a word. Especially something that is heavy as some of the things I've heard. But I want to tell you today, I'm also not going to just throw them out to the side and say, oh, no, that couldn't possibly happen to us. I'm not doing that either. I believe, though, they're warnings. And I like to look at a warning in this way as an admonition. Are you with me? An admonition is an encouragement that comes with correction. It's like a course correction. Amen. And how many of you know we need that as the church, especially here in America? And the admonition is what? To humble our hearts, to draw near, to obey his wisdom, to receive his wisdom and obey his wisdom. He promises to give wisdom without reproach. Now think about that. So there's going to be situations we're going to be in that could absolutely require us to have a supernatural wisdom. And you might say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't think we need to try to figure it out on our own. Because a lot of times what happens is we just start hoarding stuff, thinking for the worst case scenario. And we got to be really, really, really careful because there's a supernatural aspect of God's provision and God's protection. Are you with me? Again, seek God. And from that place, you apply wisdom. Does it make sense? Very important for us in this time. But these warnings, again, think about this. These warnings are given to what? My people who are what? Called by my name. Who, if they will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. So it's imperative that we pay attention to what God is revealing and what God is showing. Hallelujah. And the beauty of it is, God is wanting to bring us to that place to bring healing. Jesus told his disciples, and it was in a great time of trouble and a great temptation. He himself was struggling in Gethsemane with the whole fact of going to the cross. That cup, he asked the Father to actually, could it be removed from him? Remember that? And in this time of great struggle, when his arrest was certainly near and it was getting ready to all come down, the whole purpose of his coming to die on the cross, he said to his disciples, watch and pray. Everybody remember that? Now, watch means be alert. Pay attention. Get your eyes up. Pay attention to what's going on. Don't just be sitting there like, duh, I didn't see that bust. Right? Well, about 15 people prophesied it. We had 5 dreams, 6 visions. Why didn't you see the bust? Right? So, I mean, watch and pray. But look what he said, that you may not enter into temptation. What, you remember what else he said? For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many know our flesh is weak? Man, we get something and we get lambasted by something and our flesh starts to shake. We get fearful. Have you noticed that's how you feel fear? You actually feel it in your flesh. To not enter into temptation is going to mean this. You can't enter in, get this, to the temptation to be in fear. There's a temptation to be in doubt. There's a temptation, how about this, to give up. To run and hide. Are you with me? Instead of what? Arising and shining. See, that's the key. If it's causing me to pull back in fear, then I've got to take a hard look. Okay, how am I discerning this vision, this dream, this word from God? We have a message. Amen. Our message is hope. Our message is redemption. Our message is forgiveness. Our message is freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. Frankly, let's be honest. The United States was established for the purpose of freedom and justice for all. Amen. That's what it was established for. And the enemies of righteous freedom and the enemies of godly justice have made their intentions very clear. Are y'all with me? I hope you're not living under a rock. They made them very clear. And it is to radically change and undermine and even destroy America. There's no other country on the face of the earth that has the freedoms we do. So they're coming after it. And we already know they're coming after Israel. I mean, what I'm saying is they. I'm just talking about the enemy's diabolical plan is to destroy these things. And anybody else that's a friend of Israel or would call themselves an ally of the United States. The problem is this. So many in this nation, and even in the church, I hate to say, are under deception. I don't know if it's the strong delusion in 1 Thessalonians that Paul spoke of, but there's a lot of deception. And the deception, it was spoken of in scriptures. Let me take you to an interesting scripture. It's found in Isaiah. Isaiah spoke of this deception in Isaiah 5:20. Isaiah 5:20. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." Now get this part right here. "Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine." Isn't that interesting? "And valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe. And take this part, get this, and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right." Have y'all seen that? Yeah. That's playing out right here in America. Yeah. It's playing out right now. And I know at the core it's the Antichrist spirit. I understand that. That's at the core of it all. But Jesus said, and he warned us, "Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Don't make sure you don't be deceived." Amen? What is it when you're deceived? You accept as valid and true something that's actually invalid and false. Would you agree? You call something evil good, and then you call something good evil. Are you with me? Are we not seeing that? And let's be honest, those who stand on biblical righteousness and biblical values, we're called bigots and intolerant, and usually phobic is attached to something. It's a difficult thing to navigate through when you begin to understand, because their voices are so loud in our culture. But our battle, how many know this is the hard part? Our battle is not directly against those who accuse us. It's not. It's not against people, flesh and blood. But it's against what? Principalities and powers of the air, demonic forces that are motivating these people. But can I tell you something today? Are y'all ready? We have the keys of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We're the only ones who can cause a shift to come. We're the only ones that can call for change. And I believe with all my heart when the remnant all over the land begins to really enter into this call, and a lot of voices are calling for it, a lot of voices that I respect are calling for this. I'm telling you, and I believe it's going to cause a shift. And I believe we're going to see some of these very ones, the deceptions is going to be removed from them, and they're going to turn back to God. I believe that because Jesus died for them too. Amen? Again, let's look at that verse we looked at last week in Psalm 6, in verse number 9, as David was praying in his desperation to God. He gets down to verse 9 and he says, "The Lord has heard my supplication." The Lord receives what? My prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He receives your prayer. "All my enemies will be what? Ashamed and greatly dismayed. And they shall turn back and they will suddenly be ashamed." I don't know about you guys. I am claiming that. Amen. I am claiming that. Just some people under the worst deception and delusion are going to suddenly be dismayed. They're going to basically say, "What in the world am I doing?" Are y'all with me? I mean, when light comes on, it's kind of like the prodigal in the pig pen. He had a moment. You know, he had an epiphany. Hold on a minute. You know, and I believe we need to pray that. Now, many apostolic and prophetic prayer leaders are sounding a wake-up call at this time. They're proclaiming a time of prayer and fasting, interesting, and repentance. Can I say you, interestingly, they're not putting like 21 days, 40 days. They're saying until we're going to go after God. And it may go way past the election. Everybody wonders what's going to happen in the election. It's going to go way past that. And it's going to move, I think, into whatever God's preparing for us. And I believe with all of my heart that God's wanting us to be in synchronization with the rest of the body of Christ in that. Now, I'm hearing the call to blow a trumpet. And what I mean by that, a wake-up call. In four areas, I want to quickly give these to you, okay? And I'm going to mention them again when we pray at the end. And you can obviously listen to this recording and write them down later. I want to quickly give them to you. Four areas. Number one, to pray. And I heard this from Patricia King over here in Maricopa. To pray a firewall of protection around the nation. And especially around our leaders. And our leaders who are trying to make a stand for righteousness. I'm not here to declare they're righteous or not. I'm here to declare they want to govern according to goodness, okay? So the firewall of protection. Secondly, number two, to pray that our enemies' plans will fail and they will not prosper against us, against the church, or against this nation. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That he'll what? Come before us one way, but he will flee before us seven ways. Hallelujah. And again, that many of those, hear my heart, this is my heart, truly is my heart. Many of those whom the enemy is using right now will become ashamed and dismayed and turn. I believe that because I weep sometimes when I look at some of the people that are filled with rage and angst and they don't even know why. They don't even know why. They really don't. Because if you try to talk to them, you can't talk to them. They just scream and they cry. And I'm like, whoa, there's something going on here. Number three. That we would place, now here, this is very important for each of us on a very personal level with God, that we place the highest of priority on dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Are you with me? Let's be honest. Living in the United States of America, we've not really, maybe if you lived in a very impoverished inner city area, maybe you knew what it was like to be in constant danger. But for most of us, we've never felt like we really needed to evoke Psalm 91 over our lives. Which is supernatural protection, even from terror and war. And even supernatural protection from plagues and pestilences also. Amen? And I'm telling you, but here's the key, guys. It is revealed to those and given to those who abide and dwell under the shadow of the Most High. Amen? That's where it comes. And so we've got to be committed to that lifestyle. And finally, number four, to seek His face. Boy, that's where we were going in worship today, to seek His faith, to behold Him. Amen? Here's the thing. We behold the glory of the Lord, but also here's the beauty when you go after God's beauty. Here, get this. He lifts our head up on a rock above the enemy. And I'm convinced He wants to get us in such a place of worship that He literally reveals to us strategies. Prophetic strategies for taking the land. Amen? For winning the harvest for God. Are y'all with me? Because if you have the high ground in any kind of a battle, you're likely going to win. Because you're looking down on what the enemy's doing. You can see how it's laid out. And you know how to battle. And you know what to go after. Amen? And that's the problem. By the way, that's found in Psalm 27. Okay? Now, the Lord is not calling us to fold up shop, get out of Dodge. That's not what He's calling us to do. He's not calling us to run and then try to live. Y'all hear my heart. He's not calling us to pack our bags and wait for the rapture. Boy, when you touch rapture, you don't want to touch a raptor either. But when you touch the rapture, people freak out. Well, you don't believe in the rapture. I believe in the rapture. But what I don't believe is I'm supposed to be sitting on a mountainside with my bags packed, like I'm going to take it with me, waiting for the rapture. Because what did Jesus say? When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Is He going to find people doing what He called us to do, which was to get this gospel to all nations, all ethnicities, and then the end shall come? Amen. I don't want to be found sitting on my laurels instead of doing what God's called me to do. Are y'all with me in that? Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all are making a lot of noise for a few people, I think. I know I shared this a couple of weeks ago, but it's our rightful privilege as sons of God to rise up and be engaged in this hour for a time such as this. I can't do anything about past times. I can't do a whole lot about times to come, except I hope that a legacy of what God does in this time will carry over into that time, right? With our sons, our daughters, amen? Our grandsons and granddaughters and so on. If the remnant will respond, I believe He will be zealous for us. He'll be zealous for His church. And yes, I'm going to go on and say it. I believe He'll be zealous for America. Are y'all with me? I watched a video, just a short little video. It's a whole series about the founding of the nation and what they actually founded it on. And you realize how much that none of that's ever taught anymore. Nobody ever hears that, especially this new generation coming up. They never hear anything like that. They don't even understand. But it was so that the glorious gospel of the kingdom would go to the ends of the earth. For many, many, many generations, America was known as the sending nation. Almost every missionary, which we would call an apostle, would go forth from America. And the finances also to go to those ministries to get the gospel. And I'm telling you, I don't believe God is wanting us to say, okay, devil, you can have America. I just don't believe that. Are y'all with me? I don't believe that. I believe there's a purpose, and then the end shall come. I love another voice that's been so powerful is Mario Murillo. And I highly recommend you to tap into some of the things he's saying. I believe he's really hearing God in this hour. And I've known of the brother's ministry for many, 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 many years. And his ministry first started way back in the Jesus movement with all the riots at Berkeley and everything. We're talking way back in the 60s. And but I wanted to give a quote. I want to give him credit for this because it's so powerful. He said this: the Lord loves to express his supremacy over evil through his purified vessels. Y'all get that? He wants to express his supremacy over the enemy through purified vessels of honor. When Paul wrote about vessels of honor, he said vessels of honor are useful to the master. Anybody want to be useful to the master? That's what I want. I want to be useful to the master. Like David, serve God's purposes in this generation. I want to be faithful to do that. Go with me, if you will, to Ezekiel 37. In Ezekiel 37, we have the vision of the valley of dry bones. I just wanted to read it to you and comment on a few things there. Ezekiel 37, beginning with verse number 1. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. How many of you know if that had happened to you, you'd be thinking, Lord, what in the world are you showing me, right? Basically a graveyard. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they were very dry. Everybody say very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh Lord, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. I mean, that's powerful, right? Now, verse 7 is very important. So I prophesied as I was what? Commanded. Please get that. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So as I, what? Prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The vision's great, but if he didn't open his mouth, nothing was going to happen. Are y'all with me? And I'll tell you, that's where we are today. Dry bones, the message could not be any clearer with dry bones. There is no life here. Hello? And interestingly, what did God say to him? Can these bones live? Can these bones? He did not ask, are these bones dead? We always think God asks things that we already know, like he didn't know it. Notice what he says, can these bones live? He didn't say, are these bones dead? What kind of questions would he ask us today? I think he would say, can these bones live? How about this? Can the church be restored to the glory that I have ordained for her? Amen? I think he would ask us about, can your marriage live again? Hallelujah. Can your kids become signs and wonders? Hallelujah. Y'all with me? Can this generation experience revival? Can America be awakened and saved? I believe so. And I believe those are the questions the Holy Spirit would ask us. Here's the thing. In hopeless situations, the Lord commands us to prophesy. To prophesy a divine coming together. To prophesy life where there's no life. To prophesy for the Spirit to come. To bring it out. For an army to rise up. Hallelujah. To ask for the nations, the Lord of the harvest, to send out workers. I love verse 11 in Ezekiel there. He gives a summation. He said, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, look what they say. Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Get this. Dried up, lost, and cut off. Dried up, lost, and cut off. Most people in the church kind of feel that way. In a lot of places, they feel that way. But I want to tell you, he's with us today. Amen? That was the theme in worship today. The Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. He's not left us. There's no reason to be dried up. Amen? Even to the end of the age, he said, I'll be with you. Remember when I shared with you the word of the Lion of Judah over the nation? Remember? Remember that word? How the lion was roaring over the nation and roaring over the United States. I want to take you to a verse. I referenced it last week, but and a lot of people have asked me where it was. And let's just look at it real quick. It's Amos 3, verses 7 and 8. Amos 3, another one of those ancient prophecies, verses 7 and 8. Look what it says. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless, everybody say unless, he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has what? Spoken. Who can but prophesy? Do y'all see that? In other words, there is no alternative for spirit-filled saints but to prophesy. The main point of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to prophesy, to see dreams and visions. We're not to be a people that are in the dark. We're in the light. And only God can do these things, because it's not going to be by our might, by our power, by our clever programs, amen, but by his Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. God can bring life to dry bones. Say amen if you believe this. God can bring life to dry bones. He can reconnect those who are currently cut off. I believe that. And he can give hope to those who are hopeless. Dry bones will come together. They will rise up as a mighty army. But someone first has to prophesy. Someone has to call for the wind to come from every direction. Someone has to be willing to use the keys of the kingdom and bind the darkness and loose the light. Hallelujah. It has to be done. Frankly, we ought to be alarmed in the time that we live in. We really should be alarmed to do something, to repent, to return. I like to put it this way, to take responsibility as the priesthood of God, who've been given a rightful privilege as sons of God to do what God's called us to do. The last passage I want to share with you is found in Psalm 68. I wasn't necessarily going to use this. I've been meditating on it. My wife, as some of you know, taught from this a couple of years ago, a powerful word. And it's a powerful psalm. But I had a dear friend and ministry partner of ours back in Mississippi who had made a post about this psalm and how it's so related to today. And I said, okay, Lord, I've got to bring it up today, because I was already meditating on it. And I love when I kind of get a confirmation, a little nudge from the Holy Spirit. And I just want to show you a few verses at the beginning of the psalm. Psalm 68, look at verse 1 with me. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, amen? And let those who hate him, what? Flee before him. Notice that. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous, what does it say? Come on, everybody. Be glad. Let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the desert, whose name is the Lord, and exult before him. Hallelujah. Guys, you cannot get away from the power of worship and praise in warfare. He just got through talking about an enemy who's going to be driven away. And God says to us, and what he wants us to do is to worship him. Amen. And be glad. Hallelujah. You know why the gladness is so important? It's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And if you don't have any joy, it's hard to fight. That's right. Amen. It's hard to make a stand. It's hard to prophesy with any confidence if you have no joy. You gotta have some joy. Hallelujah. It's hard to show up for church. That's right. Without joy. Every time a worship leader says, lift up those hands, you're like, oh, he asked me to do that one more time. We're going to sing that verse again. Joy. Interesting, the Bible says shout for joy. It doesn't say shout when you get joy. It says shout for joy. A lot of people are waiting to get joy. When I get joy like that sister does, I'll shout and dance like her. Now, when you shout and dance, you'll get some joy. Hallelujah. All right, I got to move on. Y'all are going to accuse me of becoming Pentecostal. Verse 5. here's the heart of God. Get this now. A father, come on, y'all talk to me. A father to the fatherless, a judge for the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely, amen? And get this, he leads out the prisoners, get this, into what? Prosperity. Only the rebellious, here's the key, please get this part, only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Now stop right there, think about it. Only the rebellious. It is rebellion against God to remain in a parched place and stay dry. It really is. Because let's be honest, guys, we have no excuse to live lifeless and cut off and dry. We have a well within us. Glory be to God. We have the well of the Holy Ghost within us. Hallelujah. It is rebellion against God to refuse to worship, to refuse to pray, to refuse to prophesy as we're commanded. You know, I understand in the prophetic, the word is the bubbling up and all of that. I understand that. But some people are waiting for something that ain't going to ever happen until you are obedient. I find what bubbles up out of me is when I'm obedient. And then I get a release of the prophetic word of God. Amen? Are y'all okay with that? How about it's rebellion, I believe, if we're unwilling to wait before him with expectancy for his suddenlies. But I want to tell you, I know I've said this so many times, I still hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I really do. I believe there's something on the horizon for us. It may be the size of a man's hand right now. But I believe there's something coming that's going to be a latter rain type of an outpouring. I remember there was a latter rain movement years ago, decades ago. And obviously that wasn't it, because there's going to be other latter rains after that. That wasn't the last one. And I'm telling you, we may or may not experience the last latter rain, but there's supposed to be almost a fierceness to it that's going to bring a great harvest. And boy, do we need that in this hour. I'm praying for it. I'm calling for it. I'm prophesying for it. I'm looking for it. Anybody looking for it with me? And I'm willing to wait for it on behalf of this generation and this land. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me right now. And I want everybody in your home, everywhere, to stand. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and then we're going to close with some worship. But I want you just to stand with me, if you would, before God. Just as to make a statement. Here's my challenge to everyone. And those of you at home, too, I want to challenge you with this. Let's answer his wake-up call. Again, I'm not the only guy saying this. There's voices. There's many, many prophetic voices that are called. God is blowing a trumpet. Amen? The shofar. And the lion is roaring. Hallelujah. Who can but prophesy? And let's also, though, keep the volume really low if you could before you. Let's repent where we need to repent, okay? If you need to repent in some area, repent and return to the Lord with all your heart. Let's also consecrate ourselves to prayer and fasting. Now, I'm not talking about fasting like we're going to fast for 21 days and do this and that. What you fast from, really, I'll just say this. Whatever is distracting you from being committed to this, you need to abstain from it. Does it make sense? God may speak to you about diet. He may speak to you about a lot of things, but just allow God. Let's just say, Lord, we're in this. That thing in my life. How many of you know, if I needed to quit that for 21 days during the Daniel fast, why did I pick it back up again? Are you with me? Why did I pick it back up and go back to my distraction? That's me like laying your idol down and the fast is over and I'm going to pick up the idol again. Oh, I missed you, buddy. But let's also consecrate ourselves to prayer and fasting. Let's also step into our priestly call. Amen? Everybody, if you're saved, you're called to this priestly calling as the royal priesthood of God to worship, to pray, to intercede, and to prophesy and decree. Be committed. I want to challenge you in the four areas real quick. We're going to begin to pray. I'm going to give you some instruction on this. We need to begin to pray that firewall of protection around our nation. Amen? Secondly, we're going to pray and decree our enemies are not going to prosper against us. Amen? No weapon will prosper. Hallelujah. And we're going to see many become ashamed and dismayed and return to the Lord. Number three, we're going to all make that commitment to get and dwell in the shadow of his wings. Amen? In the shadow of the Most High, the secret place of the Most High, because that's where the reward is. Amen? And number four, we're going to just, more than anything, seek the Lord with all of our heart. To be diligent to seek his face, to fill up our lamps with the oil of intimacy. Amen. And expect God's going to start showing us strategies strategies to win our families to the Lord, strategies to win people that we work with to the Lord, strategies to see this city rocked by the power of God, whatever, amen? But I believe God will show us those strategies. He'll give us dreams and visions. So in bowing your heart, but lift your hands to the Lord right now. And I want you to pray with me out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, we volunteer freely in this day of your power. We ask you to consecrate our hearts. Sanctify us to be your vessels of honor, useful to you. I choose to praise you with the sacrifice of praise. I choose to sing and make melody with my heart unto you. Hallelujah. I will open wide my mouth and know that your spirit will fill me afresh and anew. You will give me an utterance, and I will prophesy as you have commanded me. Lord, I will not rebel against you by remaining in a parched land. I will worship you. I will contend for a fresh outpouring of your spirit, and I will wait expectantly upon you. For we know, Lord, that you are the Lord that is in the midst of your people. You are the Lord our God. For there is no other. For there is no other. And we are your people. And we will never be put to shame. Our God is great. Our God is good. Our God is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Now before we worship, we're going to close with worship here. And before we do that right now, I just want to encourage everyone, especially if you're getting these messages online, stay connected. We're going to be sharing more opportunities over the days to come regarding opportunities to pray and seek the Lord together by gathering together online, being synchronized together. We're going to get into that. So stay tuned, because I'm telling you, it's time for us to run after this, not just pray a prayer and go out the door and go business as usual. Amen. Let's go after it with all of our heart. We can't. I love this song. We can't go back to the beginning. Amen. That's not what he's calling us to do, but he is calling us to press into him with all of our hearts. So let's worship the Lord. Lift our voice to heaven. We're just going to close with worship. We just bless all of you online today. Just finish up, seal this prayer time with worship today before the Lord. We love you. God bless you.